Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good. I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. You know, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I'll never know. I could be so happy.
gonna wanna hit some horns.
Good morning, good morning. It is a beautiful day in Dallas, Texas this morning. Welcome to the World According to Drew. I'm Andrew Wood live from Studio A this morning. Boy, I love school. I love school. Boy, that's what they're talking about this morning. And we're going to find some of them love schoolers this morning. I know how it is trying to go to school, trying to get back. I'm telling you, I don't miss it. I don't miss it not one bit. But we got some things to do this morning, and we want you to be a part of it. and some of the things we'll talk about just to get you on page. I tell you, it's the 22nd day of August. We're going to talk about the COVID numbers. Hospitals closing up, people flying all over the country to find pediatric beds. Numbers are up in the schools. Some governors are fighting local superintendents and PTAs. We'll talk about that and see what you have to talk about as well. Afghanistan, what's going on? As Marvin Gaye will say, President Biden up to his socks right now on some things. But, you know, I'll say a little bit about that as well. But this is something that's been going on for a while. So, again, we'll holler at him a little bit later, that's President Biden, and try to help him straighten out the situation. I know Harold is ready, rocking it, ready to take care of some business this morning. And we're going to do this thing. And we're going to do it a little something like this. As always, read your African-American newspapers no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. And we're going to get it done this morning. So let me go and bring in the Prime Minister of Oak Cliff. Job is finest. That's what he says. Oak Cliff, Bon-Ton, South Dallas, Rochester Park, I'm sorry, Bill Blair Park, Pleasant Grove. This guy's known all over the Metroplex. Come on, stop sick. You got it. None other than the world famous than Colonel Sanders. Harold Hubbard. Good morning, sir.
Hey, what's up?
Boy, I ran out of stuff to talk about this morning. I tell you, I didn't know what I was. Well,
you got a full plate.
Big time going on. Hopefully we can get some of these young folks that's starting out for the first time. And, you know, and when you got some that have been there a while, they probably still sleep. So we'll work with it this morning.
The new ones sleep, too.
Boy, I tell you, and
they've been up there for a minute. They ain't had nothing to do, so you know they've been hanging out.
Oh, of course. Why not? Trying to fit in. That's the
might
good
as well
thing.
Get it in now.
But you know, if we look at it, I was trying to get a little song for us this morning. With the kids going back to school, some going for the first time, some that have been in school that have been kind of hybrid lately. It's been quite interesting. Now they got to go back to the classroom. This Zoom, I think I've Zoomed out. We're going to continue to Zoom. But for these kids, that was a new way of learning. And I thought with them, it would be a little bit easier based on the amount of computer time they put in. But some of the kids, you know, they resisted a little bit. But they had to do it for the sake of their own safety. So we'll see what's going on. We will see what's going on. See if they really love school like they said. And we're going to have that. I'm trying to get that song ready for you, Harold. I know how much you love it.
Which
love
one?
School. I love school. So I'm working on it.
School.
You got it. Just wrong key, partner. Wrong key, but you're good. I like it. I like it, but we're going to let the professionals sing that. That's cool. How about that one?
Yeah.
Man, I'm having a great time this morning. Just good to be alive, to be honest. We have a lot of people that's not here with us, and, you know, I've lost some friends. And it's just killing my heart right now, but we're gonna make it happen. We will make it happen. And
you lost a friend?
Yeah, you know, a couple of friends down home. You know, it's just, you know, one you see him Friday and don't see him Saturday because he had a heart attack. And a little couple years older than I. But he had had some hard times, you know, in his life. So we'll do that. You kind of just pay homage to him a little bit. And that, man, I'm just trying to make it myself. Every day is a blessing, and I treat it like the Pope. I don't kiss the ground physically, but I do, and figuratively, in my mind, I kiss the ground. You know, every time the Pope got off the plane, that's how I feel. That's exactly how I feel. So a lot is going on. And I know you got a lot going on. You the Prime Minister of Oak Cliff.
Again,
you know, I tell you every day I go in to work and pass through, I see the development of Faith Family School, of Life Charter, and with all these schools right there in Oak Cliff, boy, they putting a hurt on DISD right in those areas.
Yeah.
And you know, you're wondering how they getting along. You know, that's some of it. But again,
yeah,
we're just trying to, you know, just trying to get where we're getting for the kids.
There's so many children, though, so.
But here's something. I'm just speaking from the heart on this one, that a lot of these kids, when they go to these schools, the district hurts because they're losing numbers. Charter schools are thriving because they have the numbers. But when they have problems with the kids, guess what? They send them back to their home school or home district.
Mm.
And by doing that, they'll keep them X amount of days. And then when they get the money, then if they have problems with the children, they send them back, which is unfortunate for these other DISDs and Duncanville ISD, Phoenix Hill, and Lancaster one. It's tough because you don't have the appropriation for the money. So we'll see. You know, a lot is going on. You got governors in the state of Florida, Arizona, and Texas that don't want kids to wear masks.
Mm.
It's an option.
Karma's something else, though.
Yeah. Well, it is funny that you say karma when you're governor of Texas, and I'll let you say it because I won't say it this time. But what's your nickname you have for this governor?
Man, I could be real cruel, but I'm not.
Yeah, it's Sunday morning.
I ain't gonna make no mentions of his disability.
Okay.
I think he's mentally disabled too.
And he's come down with it. And you know, he lost some followers, believe it or not. Those who didn't want to get the shot. He come up, why did he have the shot? He been telling us don't get it, and he got it.
Nah, man.
See the fallout?
So he was telling them not to get it?
Yes. You know, that you didn't need it and have antibodies. And so many famous people have passed, you know, of not wanting to do the vaccine. And hell, just, I know you're a good old military man, and through my travels during the week, you find a lot of veterans that don't want the shots. And I repeat this over and over. When they're on aircraft carriers, getting ready to go to Iraq or Afghanistan, Kuwait, wherever they've been, when they tell them to get in line because they're getting shots, I don't think too many
getting
out
line.
Of line. If any, getting out of line.
Yep. Like I said, like I read this week, these people been eating processed foods and everything else. Now they worried about what's in the shot.
Well, let me go old school on them. Who would have thunk it?
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thunk it? I'm telling you, folks, we're at the crossroads. Bone Thugs and Harmony at the crossroads. You got to make some decisions.
Crossroads. Yeah. Don't have to do so.
Yeah. And this thing is not backing off at all.
No.
At all.
Mm-mm.
So we'll see. But Tammy, what's going on in your world? We got a lot to talk about this morning, and we're going to keep things going.
Oh, man, I'm just glad to be here and ready to see how this school year goes for my kiddos. And hope they wishing them the best of success. Couldn't get none of them up this morning.
So you double-fisted like I am now.
Yeah, man. I'm doing good to have groceries, man.
Well, that's good. You know, it's a very humbling experience for parents, too, when your kids are off to school. Let alone one, but you got two. So you see what I've been going through.
Yeah.
It's tough. And fortunately, you got one that you can put your hand on. Can you imagine if you had two? Yeah. So it's a little, how can I put it? It's a bad feeling, but not as bad as having two you can't put your hand on right away.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So we loving it. Loving
I know
every
it.
Of it. From time you start to get your nipples back.
Yeah, you got one that's getting a W-2 now, though, so.
Well, he ain't quite there.
He ain't quite there yet?
He ain't quite there. He trying to get there. trying to get there. He made a little money over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so he still asking me for some tires for his car. So I'm asking, excuse me, what happened? What happened was.
you still got to hear
what
that.
What happened was. You know, I got that and I just laughed. But they grow so fast.
Yeah.
And we're going to see. We're going to see what happens when they look up. And mommy and daddy ain't putting no cheese out there on the table for them.
Right.
Yeah. When they can't get no cheese. And we'll see. I love it. I love the idea. And now I can see what my parents were going through. When you got a kid ready to get out there on the real world. And, you know, it's a little apprehension about it. But yet still,
mm-hmm.
they're still fighting for their children, trying to make the best out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'm trying to wake one up in Tallahassee. But
good luck.
I don't think she having it this morning.
No.
Because let me try this hair. Once I get them on, I'm so in love with this school to get us in the spirit. Let's do it. I'll play it a little later, too, but you know I'm working behind the scenes. Here it goes, a little something like this. The days going to work, you hear that boy, you like, oh yeah, they're in school. They're in school this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I was loving it. So you see, you got a new twist to it now. I'm up here working, getting the downloads now. But I'm excited for those who have your school-age kids. Hang in there. This new norm is on for now. Please be safe with your children. Put it on their mask. I know. Just think about our future. Think about their future. And let them wear the mask. Because I know the younger they are, the tougher it is for masks. I was so pleased looking on the news that some of the first graders and even preschoolers, they're in the mode of wearing their mask. And I was excited. They had their spacing. And they're getting the young ones to comply. It's older ones that are not wearing a mask and the older ones not doing social distancing. Who would have figured that out in 2021?
Wow.
But what? And
then
we have adults.
That's just the way they, the time they're growing up in, so.
Yeah. Well, do you think we need to send the adults back to school, too, because some of them not wearing their mask?
Man.
And this thing is spreading. And you look, even in Dallas, I mentioned last week over in Farmers Branch, their hospital closed down 100%. Now, some people say closed down a little. They closed down 100%. They locked the door. They couldn't accept ambulances coming to the door. Keep moving. You have an ER. Keep moving.
Now, that's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. And your outlook on life ain't great if you're pulling up to the door of the ER and they're telling you we're not open. See, it's one thing when you run to the mall and say, we closed. All right, I'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'll come up earlier. But now you're talking about life or death, and you can't go in a hospital. This level
at
this proportion of livelihood, I'll put it like that, is beyond our thought process. You had a case in Oklahoma, broken arrow or broken bow, where these folks flew over to Memphis, that by the time the plane got to Memphis, the hospital wasn't taking any more kids. Then they ended up going to Idaho.
Who the what?
Yeah, Idaho. Went to Idaho. They had to go to Idaho.
Oh, Lord.
So,
you make
but this thing is
hey,
to get serious.
I know he's having confession time this morning.
All right, Usher. All right, Usher. I hear you.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Now, I have a good friend. I have a good friend online. Yeah, please. I appreciate it. I have a good friend that's home from Florida. See if he's able to talk about what's going on in Tampa, how they're doing at his particular hospital. Lonnie, if you're able to speak, go ahead and press 1 for me. And just to get an update of what's going on down the way.
Man.
Welcome to the world, according to Drew. What's going on in your world? Good morning, sir.
Hey, man. It's we right in the thick of it. Right in the thick of it. Hospitals full. Every day is another unit converted to a COVID unit. Looking at setting up outside tents in the ER area to screen people. It's, it's pretty bad. Then the staff being worn out, ones that, you know, that haven't contracted it and are out, you know, themselves, haven't been exposed, with breakthrough infections. It's stress all around. Stress all around. The decision makers, the caregivers, you know, in the hospital, it's pretty bad, man. It's pretty bad. And then on top of that, you still have people that don't want to do the vaccination.
Wear the mask. But you know what I've seen? Lonnie, you have a lot of people, famous people now, are getting contracted. I'm praying for Jesse Jackson and Jack 1 Jackson. who were both at Northwestern Hospital there in Chicago, both have tested positive. You know, and this thing is spreading like wildfire. And now they talk about boosters, maybe, what, about 8 months after you've had it, maybe to improve your immunity. And, you know, some people will be a little skeptical about that as well. But I'd rather be skeptical and reading about folks instead of y'all reading about me. And I'm going to do the best I can to be as safe as possible, but everybody's not playing by those rules. But when you, you know, like where you are, a major hospital in that neck of the woods, and like I'm a major hospital here is Parkland Hospital, and they're getting up to capacity, opening new wings, like you said, having a lot of challenges, even if you are a trauma one level, trauma one level hospital. You know, how do you, you know, you got to keep a bed or two for them, but can you imagine at your hospital, they have a trauma one, a level one trauma, and they telling them, don't even come this way.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's unreal the what's going on, and the problem is, you know, it's been so politicized, especially here in Florida. You know, our governor, similar to, you know, the issues you all had with your governor out there, you know, doubling down on, you know, I mean, we've had, I think, the largest school districts in Florida defy his, you know, defy his executive order about, you know, no mask mandate, you know, kind of thing. And the problem I see is that more and more kids are being affected now. And with the lack of, you know, us reaching the threshold we need to reach for vaccinations, then that just leaves, you know, the virus that the capabilities to just continue to evolve and come up with the variants that it's going to cause major problems. So now it's the issue with the kids and school starting back. Having started back, I think Hillsborough County had something like, I don't know, between faculty and students or something, 12,000 or something maybe at one point.
Wow.
This past week.
Wow.
And,
well, what do y'all think about the school districts that are trying to be progressive and making it a part of the dress code?
Yeah, the uniform. Yeah, a lot of them, yeah, that's how one of their workarounds to these, to the orders against the mask mandate is initially, like here in Hillsborough County, they were doing, you could opt out, you know, the parents could opt out. Now they basically just can only opt out for medical reasons, but, you know, something from the healthcare provider. But I thought that was pretty creative as far as part of the uniform. But in most places, I think parents also had an option to opt out with uniforms for whatever reason. So it's a nice workaround, and it might work in some places, but it just depends, you know. But when you get the largest school districts in the state, I think Broward, Miami-Dade, Hillsborough County, and even Palm Beach, and I think up in Gainesville, Alachua County, I think all of them at this point are defying the order. Hillsborough County did it, I think, trying to do it for 90 days. I can't remember if it's 30 or 90 days. Just to try to, you know, to stay the spread a little bit, you know, at least let us try to get back to some level ground. But it's become so politicized at this point that, and everybody's just doubling down on their stance. So
right.
I don't know what the answer is going to end up being with this thing. I know as soon as they, I think maybe probably this week coming up, I guess, will be they're supposed to give the okay for the boosters, I think.
Right.
Everybody already doing it for those at high risk. They've already begun it for those that are high risk.
And Pfizer has given the okay, been given the okay to produce. So they have it. They're saying they will have enough if they create the boosters for those who have already been vaccinated. But the thing is that you made mention about the kids. You know, again, a kid does not have a situation where they're in control. They shouldn't be, not elementary school or through high school, you know, options. as a parent, there's some tough decisions, but I would think take care of your children. You know, make sure they're vaccinated, because everybody they play with or hang out with is not all playing by the same rules. You can only control what you have at your house. You know, that's the thing I was hoping that we would. Everybody have their reasons, and I can respect that. But for these kids, if they're going to be the next generation of adults, I think they need every fighting chance they can get to get to that level and be the next set of adults. That's just me.
Yeah, and it all comes down to the age-old debate, you know, individual rights versus the good of society kind of thing. I mean, we got seatbelt laws. We got other immunizations that, you know, people have to take, go to school. You got all kind of other things. So, I mean, it even showed that last year the tremendous decrease in the amount of flu cases with people wearing masks. So, I mean, you don't even have to be a scientist or a healthcare provider to see that there is benefit. But, you know, people just automatic push back. You can't tell me what to do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And then there's a gentleman, you know, I hate to add the hot sauce to the meatloaf, so to speak. The conservative talk host, Bill Valentine, I know he's been on the far right with a lot of things. He dies after his battle with COVID. And he,
right.
You know, he was telling people not to, you know, not to take sides and everything. But what is it going to take for people to realize how serious it is? And you know, when
yeah.
I say not only the vaccine, but we're getting tropical storms. When was the last time New York got hit by a hurricane, a tropical storm? These wildfires, you know, those of us who were in Sunday school at one time, you know, is this the second coming? There's too much is going on. I don't think in our lifetime we had all this going on, wildfires, mudslides, hurricanes, COVID. And most of the groups, most of the people that are on this call, we had to take polio drains.
Yeah.
And we didn't like
yeah.
that in that one. You know, then HIV came up in the early 80s.
This is that double-edged sword of instantaneous and social media. There's so many conspiracy theories now that people can access, and everybody now can have a blog or put their opinion out there or put some bogus information out there. And, you know, a lot of people are like, if it's on the internet, then it must be true, right? So, you know, that's that two-edged sword that we're dealing with in society right now, is that people are just, most people can't decipher and filter through this stuff. And, you know, both sides leverage that to sway people, no matter what
right.
it is.
Yeah, you and Jeffro, Jeffro Bonin on me. You say decipher. Okay.
No.
I ain't mad at you. We can't tell the difference between fact or fiction or
right.
what's out there, the way people put it out there. You know, constantly I run into people every day. I don't want to wear a mask. I can't breathe. It hurts my breathing. I say I'd rather have something hindering my breathing than not breathing at all.
Right.
And they just take it like you don't talk their mind. And then they start putting that stuff. So it's tough. And, you know, the bigger cities, they're going to have their numbers, but now you look at some of the rural cities, they're overwhelmed as well. Overwhelmed with no place to go. And as I mentioned, broke down to Memphis to Idaho. It's crazy. Go ahead. You were about to say something.
No, I was just going to say, and a lot of these cases, I mean, these areas, they're right on the cusp of completely being overwhelmed with the healthcare system and the hospitals. You know, to the point where, you know, you call 911 and they say, well, we don't have anywhere to take you.
Mm-hmm.
And some not so small cities. I think in Alabama, I think they were having that in one of their pretty decent sized cities. So I don't know what the answer is as far as because people are so dogmatic in their position that, you know, trying to get people to listen to reason is it just doesn't seem like it's going to happen.
Right. And let me tell you, look through some numbers here. In Dallas County alone, there have been 339,000 cases with 4,200 deaths. Okay?
Hey, I'm going to pause for a second, Drew. I'm going to step out for a second.
Okay.
But I'm here.
Then in the state of Texas, we have 3.46 million people with cases. And 55,390 deaths. That's just Texas alone. This is a big state. Now, that's reported. Can you imagine something not reported? And, you know, one thing about individuals, when you look at individuals, we all have our own different DNA. We've learned that just like our fingerprint. But I'm telling you, we need to be responsible, not so much for us because we're more susceptible to get it and not recover. But then again, we, our kids, our grandkids, we need to try to lead them in the same direction. When you have a kid in kindergarten telling the teacher he's not putting it on because it's he has a right not to wear it. Kindergarten, that's what, 4 and 5? What books they been reading? They only replaying what they've heard. That's not within my right. Okay? So they always tell you, be careful what you say around your kids. So we need to preserve their future. That we do need. It's about 40 minutes after the hour. Welcome to the world, according to Drew. I'm Andrew Wiggum live from Studio A this morning. Errol Hubbard riding shotgun out of Oakland.
Yes, sir.
You better be. We've heard from our line in Florida. I know we have some people from other areas. Give us a wellness check. Wellness check in your neck of the woods. I know Eric probably in church this morning. Pray for us, brother. Pray for this nation. Pray for this world with this COVID situation as well. But so much is going on. You had the COVID crisis. Kids going back to school. People trying to get out of Afghanistan. And we'll talk about that a little later. Fights everywhere. What is going on? Fires. It's unbelievable what we're enduring right now. What we're enduring. So we just have to just have a talk. And that's what we need, folks. Have that dialogue, and this is the perfect platform for you to get in and talk. So we can get some things, try to establish some ground rules or, you know, different routes that we can live in a safer society. Because if you think COVID is enough, we're still having a shooting in this country. Always seem to be our numbers where we've given up so many lives and taken so many lives away. I still want to put this on your mind. I've never known a black community to be the manufacturers of guns. You can't find Smith & Wesson manufacturing plant in Oak Cliff, Texas. You can't find it in Waco. You can't find it in Mahia, Houston. Let's turn this thing around. You can't find it in Florida, nowhere. But yet we lead the country with homicide. Illinois. Shootings. Left and right. And we know the story when somebody's being shot. It depends on who's pulling the trigger. Because they're getting shot. You know, I'm going to have to blow the dust off on this one. South Carolina, you have a prayer service. Your parishioner comes in sitting next to you, praying with you, and then kill you. And on his way to the police station, get something to eat. If that don't get your blood pressure up this morning, I don't know what will. Don't take your medicine. Take your medicine. It's a shame.
Thanks for the reminder.
It gets you all hot. Even if you don't have high blood pressure, it's rising this morning.
Yeah.
But, folks, we have to take the bull by the horn. Take care of what's yours. These kids that we have, treat them in the right way that they can make sound decisions when they're in a position of not being in your pocket. That's what we need to do. So we're going to touch this COVID. It's a lot of folks, the Jacksons, and that's just who we know now. So we're
yeah,
saying
I
that
heard about
have,
that.
Yeah. They hospitalized them after testing positive. And then, you know, again, we talk about the fires. We talk about tropical storms. You know, when people lived in New York, first thing they said, well, I don't want to live in Florida. They have too many hurricanes.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Unlike earthquakes.
Up the coast.
Up the coast. And then there was one went straight across Mexico.
Yeah.
And even in the great state of Texas, whether it's Harvey, we'll get them coming in on the shore.
Oh, we
getting
used that to
whole
it here.
West off of Mexico.
You know, Houston area gets hit all the time.
Yeah, right down the coast. Port Arthur, Beaumont.
Yeah.
Lake Charles. And we know how Lake Charles been suffering lately.
Yeah.
New Orleans. You had Rita. I can't even think of the big one that hit. Katrina. Boy, them young ladies sure raised some fans. And then we had Fred. Now it's Henry. I don't know what the G was. I think the G went up the coast. I don't know. That's why you lose track.
You mean
know,
they
named
one after Fred
Sample?
About.
No, I could have been. But who didn't think he was going to do something? Big dummy. You know. But it's devastating how they're coming. In 1 year, Harold, I made the comment that hurricanes were coming like paychecks every Friday. Every Friday. And those are things that you really need to consider. Every Friday, paychecks. Not only paychecks, hurricanes.
Man.
But we have to ask ourselves, what is going on with that layer? There was a time in our lifetime, it may have happened twice, but most recently for us, where they had to double down. Yeah, don't act like y'all, it's Sunday morning, but don't act like y'all don't know what double down is. They had to double down and go through the whole alphabet and had to come back around.
Go through the Greek.
Yeah. Delta, Delta.
They'll start going through the Greek alphabet one time.
Yeah, had to double down in our lifetime.
Pretty seven there.
Yeah, there's so much going on, folks, and we just be aware of what's going on in your neighborhood.
What's going on in your neck of the woods?
Yep. Oh, I heard that. But again, I'm Andrew Wiggum live in Studio A this morning. Harold Hubbard riding shotgun. You know, we folks at least know what's going on. You got to read. You know, it's not like the old school where you put something in the Bible. You know, nobody ain't gonna look in the Bible because they ain't gonna read. We have to be forthright.
We read now, sir.
Yeah, but we read the wrong information. Like Lonnie said, we'll get out on the internet, and some people really feel that the internet, I call them web MDs, even though they have a website for that, but they have web PhDs, conspiracy thinkers, everything you can think of. It's okay to get information, but go and get two or three resources on the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody is a doctor on the internet. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's a theologian, prophet, or prophetess, and everything else. So.
Yeah.
You can be anything you want to on cyberspace and the internet. You can be anything. You know. Everybody.
Yeah. Well, and they give them PhDs, too, out there. They on top of their game. But when you cut down into the middle, when you get past the brain, get past the bones, get down to the blood, everybody's blood is red, and there has to be some humility in there along with what you think above the shoulders or think with above the shoulders. But we have to... As we mentioned earlier, sometimes y'all just got to decipher through all that stuff. If Jeffro Goldin can get where we can to, and he was fictitious, but we can get through.
But gentlemen, I'm about to head into church in a minute, Drew. I'm actually sitting in the church parking lot because we just started back about a month ago meeting. For one service and everything to tick back up, so we may have to reevaluate. We'll see.
Okay, have y'all had any cases with your parishioners or anything?
Well, you know, we were an immunization site a few months back, way back earlier in the year, and we had quite a few people from the community and church get immunized. But even with that, we had, and it's sad to say, but I can think of one elderly member who's grown children told her not to get the immunization, and sadly, I think she died, and I think one or two of the children who told her not to get the immunization died, you know, from COVID. So you know, it's happened, but it's from people where you put it right there, the opportunity right there for them, and unfortunately, people of influence, you know, in their family or whatever, have a greater say, you know. And so we've had, you know, there's at least one case I can think of like that. But as far as nothing, you know, here we mask up, and you know, there's a that sanitizer station with social distance in the sanctuary, and you know, there's no choir. There may be about six at the most on a praise team spread out across the stage, you know, so there's, you know, all the precautions that we can practically take and meet. So we're doing our due diligence.
Right.
That's good.
No guarantees about anything, but yeah.
Right.
But I wanted to join in and catch you guys a little bit this morning.
Oh, let me say this right quick. And one thing you told me I thought was interesting, too, that when you all enter in one area, you go out the other. You kind of
correct. Yeah, there's two entrances, one on the east side, one on the west side, and two exits, one on the east side, one on the west side, and on the back. And we're trying to direct, and then everything is sanitized by professional cleaning services after we dismiss. Get everything professionally cleaned, sanitized, you know, which is an additional expense, but, you know, it is somewhat offset by the fact that we're not meeting them in here as long as we, you know, were previously not two services, only one service, so kind of all balances out.
Right. All right, well, thank you for your input. And you be safe,
yes,
and we'll be in touch.
All right. Good day, gentlemen.
All right.
Carry on.
Back at you.
All right.
All right. That's out of Tampa, Florida.
Mission granted to exit the vessel.
Yeah. And you know what? That's a good idea, Harold, with these churches of maintaining the social distance. We've gotten so comfortable now that we want to sit together. And you haven't seen Sister Ura Pookie and them for about a year at church. And... you got to wave. You got to start waving now. But things are getting kind of serious. I don't know how. So about a week ago, I drove down Elm Street, Main Street, all of it over in Deep Ellum.
Uh-huh.
You wouldn't believe the young people that have walked through there, that were walking through with no mask on. They were within close proximity of each other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, some people think it's a hoax. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
What they think all these people dying from?
Maybe they're not watching the news. Maybe they're not interested. But how can you not be interested in something that could affect you? That's how I feel. And everybody that's hearing my voice, I'm praying for safety. I'm praying for good health for you and your families. But what we need you to do is just, as they say in church, govern yourselves accordingly. It's Sunday morning. Govern yourselves accordingly. But this is no joke. People dropping out faster than car wrecks now. You hear people dying at the car wrecks and shootings in this country, this is right up there with them, of people not making it. Lonnie mentioned that there was an elderly lady at church, family told her not to take her shot. God bless her soul. She's gone on to glory, and a few children gone with her. That's fine.
So
if you don't.
Old folks do what they want to do.
Right, they do. But again, they're very susceptible because they have deficiencies in their immune system. Their defenses are lower. They can't fight it off. Kids definitely, you know how easy they catch a cold running around in school. So at least right now, until they've been cleared to take their shot, put a mask on them. He can't breathe. He or she is complaining because they hear you complaining about I can't breathe. Sometimes, as old folks say, sometimes you just got to keep your mouth shut. If that's something you don't want, let it be your choice. I know we can influence people in our lives, but look, give them the choice. Influence where they try to keep your friendship. Because friendships end up at the wrong places, especially during these days. Lord Land. Evergreen.
Yeah.
Golden Key. Wilson Funeral Home in Tampa. Y'all get where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. You know, conspiracy talks are out there and this thing is backfired because I think they were looking, they were targeting one specific group. Well, the group got hit. And the group trying to do that.
Now.
Yeah. And one thing about this COVID, it's not discriminating. It's taking folks out.
Man. It's quite inclusive.
But every so often, we have something that comes through our lifetime that's devastating. I don't think this has been quite devastating during our time.
Yeah. It's
quite
still
devastating.
Here.
It's going to be here a while. So my advice to everyone, do what's best for you. I'll take the high road. But get all the facts and then make your decision. I say do what's best for you. Do the right thing. There are people that love you. We love you. We want you to be around as long as you could possibly be.
Yeah.
Your family needs you. Do what's right. You don't owe me nothing. But I thank you down the road if you choose to. But I thank the people who rely on you every day that you coexist with deserve to have you around all of your life, all of it. And there is a timetable we don't know, Harold. We, as the more folks said, be here today, gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if we know the time or the hour. You know, we'll do things differently, but we just don't know. This has gotten to a point of just crazy, crazy. Yep, it's from political. I've never seen where things are so political about a disease. Whether you die, if you're Democrat or Republican, you won't be voting no more. Dead. Won't you preserve what you can to vote while you can and continue to vote for a while? But all the fighting this country has had from the North and the South, black and white, brown, you name it, vaccinated, unvaccinated, those who have died, guess what? There's no differential when you're dead. You dead. We want you around a little bit longer. It's about, boy, where's the time gone? 2 minutes after the hour. Want to welcome our listeners over on the East Coast. Stay dry. Henry's coming up the coast, up New York. We have people in the Midwest. We got the Texas crew. We got it going on. Got it going on this morning. All right. It's something that you're familiar with. I'm going to call you. You are a Brigadier Five-Star General out of Oak Cliff. About this Afghanistan, what has been your take on?
Well, you've been knowing that it was going to happen. Going in was a situation that you can't win. That's the first thing. So how much money, lives can you throw at an issue that you know you can't win? Is my point. And this was a campaign issue. The Taliban knew that it was coming, so they planned for it. And my point is, people saying that they didn't think it would happen that quickly. Brother, it happened in 3 months or 2 weeks. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm.
Inevitable.
was a situation we couldn't fix. And, you know, you have military,
something that we couldn't
military
fix.
People saying that they wasted their time. It was a waste of time to go.
And what we're noticing, Harold, it was going to be a fallout no matter who was at the helm.
That's
it's
right.
Unfortunate, you know, those who support President Biden, that on his watch, this thing is going awry. It could have easily gone awry with George W. Could have gone awry with Barack Obama. Could have gone awry with 45-9-1. And it went awry with Biden. A matter of getting people out of there, you know, it's easy to second guess people who are good at what they do at that level, your generals. They're supposed to be the most intelligent combat fighting strategists in the world on our own American soil. I think I would have gotten people out of there before my announcement. But we can second guess. It's like playing Battleship. We went F9. Even if we miss, guess what? We'll call F2, F10, whatever it takes to hit the ship.
Yeah,
but you
but
get
see,
one shot.
The thing about it is people don't understand what goes on behind the shield. He's been negotiating this for a while, man. Okay. The Taliban knew when he was leaving.
Oh, yeah.
How do you think he negotiated them to still be flying out of there?
Some sound fishy. And then you never know. That's conspiracy. Conspiracy talk, as Lonnie said on the internet. Well, if I don't win, this would need to happen. Is that possible? If I win, then we're going to work on this thing and get it out. So it's a no-win situation for a president coming in, you know, behind. It's tough. But I just hope that the team now, I'm sure they realize some of the ups and downs. The pictures are so, so telling and so hurtful how the people are trying to flee the country. They're jumping on aircraft carriers, not to aircraft carriers, let me get it right, airplanes that are taking off. And I could not tell one day they watched this plane, and I think somebody was holding on, Harold, and fell off the plane, couldn't hold on, and fell to their death.
Yeah.
And that's hard to even fathom. You up that high. I've always been one to say, well, how can those big old airplanes that carry all that weight, much more weight than any 747, carrying tanks, jeeps, all kind of vehicles, able to fly? So that's a lot of torque, a lot of speed. In other words, that's a lot of physics that we don't even want to know about.
Right.
Or how it can fly. And then you have somebody holding on. So it must be a great deal of speed to be able to carry that weight. And somebody fall to their death. People are that desperate. Should we, again, we second guessing. Should they have tried to get people out beforehand? But somebody would have leaked it. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah.
They got spies everywhere. But this thing is ugly. And it's unfortunate that, again, the president will get the blame. That comes with the territory. But that's what you signed up for. Your people around you need to try to make you look the best that you could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
Was it sabotage? Who knows? They know who's in that room. to now, it's all about recovery. How would they respond? How would they get up from this? Let's go and get these folks who want to be like Dan Rather in the middle of Vietnam. And he sprung to greatness when he came back in the States. Or how Geraldo going to draw and get a military plan on the ground. Where they going? They barred him from the wars. I think that was Desert Storm. We're going to go down here and turn left and live better. And then we're going to go down to 75 and go north. It just told the people where you're going. So they shut him out. Shut him out and shut everything down.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we got our hand in a mess. You know, and I'm always leery of fighting another country's war.
Mm-hmm. And why?
On neutral territory, what I call neutral is not America.
Foreign.
And we all know, Harold, we all know our age group, and even those a little older, when it came to Afghanistan, back in 1980, if we didn't know much, Jimmy Carter pulled out. But the bigger fight was over the poppy plants over in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what poppy is, poppy is your cocaine field. That's what the fight is all about, control of the fields.
Yeah.
Carter did his thing. Reagan kind of built up a little bit. We got a better connection. We had a presence. We got what we needed. The world got what they needed. It was quiet. The Bushes get in, which was a carryover of Reagan. And this is so corny, but y'all ride with me. It is Sunday morning. All that's going on, Reagan knew what was going on. Bush, Senior Bush, did his thing. And then we can't forget Bill Clinton. He got caught between the bushes. Oh, excuse me. Kind of funny joke there. Y'all get it. Got caught between the bushes. No matter how you look at it. Well, I'm trying to wake you up, give you a little something to think about. He got caught between them. All right, then we had 9/11. 9/11 came. Then you had the invasion where you got Osama bin Laden. We thought that was the end of it. You got him. Well, how many new upstarts they may have been?
Right.
Did you forget, you know who trained Osama bin Laden? You know who trained him?
Yeah. Bushes.
George Herbert Walker Bush. President, founder, whatever you want to say. He was over the CIA. General Noriega, Panama, found him in a church. He's an old man now, still living in a plush federal jail. Well, it ain't up in a country club. He's still walking around. He's playing golf.
Man.
We trained them.
Mm-hmm.
Like We trained the Afghans in this last experiment, I call it, with the country, teaching them how to fight. Well, it's hard to fight. Harold, have you? Okay, let's go old school on y'all. I'm really am. And Eric, I'll get to you 1 second. Let's go old school. How can I fight for you when you can't fight for yourself? Now, if I'm trying to help you, I hope you want to help yourself. Don't let me get beat up trying to help you. But we're training the Afghanistan soldiers to protect. your president is very much aware of what's going on. But here's your president running. Resign. Kapoop. Right there, let you know he done gave up.
He got up out of that camp.
Yeah. So it makes you wonder how much of Afghanistan people ran with him, got out of there. Now, the Taliban, what kind of deals they made on the table? We will allow you to get away, but then we going to take over. Inquiry minds want to know. Those are the things that are going on overseas that are impacting everybody in this world. It's amazing. Let me bring in another caller here. Welcome to the World According to Drew. What's going on in your world this morning?
Hey, God bless you, good brothers. How y'all doing today?
Good,
hey,
good.
Hey.
All right. Now, understanding that, how many Afghanistanis are they removing from the country, and are they bringing them here to the U.S.? Is that correct?
Supposedly, just the same time. Go ahead, Harold. I know you know a little bit more than I do now.
Some of them are actually coming to Texas.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So what kind of numbers are we talking about? Do we know how many numbers are coming over? I heard some are coming to Louisiana also.
I don't know the number, but I can only imagine
right.
It's going to be more than we've ever seen in our lifetime. But here's the thing. I'm glad you said that, because now that sparked something in my head. We can let the people from Afghanistan come, but we build a wall to keep people. We can bring them across big oceans, big body of waters, but we can't let one migrate from the bottom. Are we saying the brothers and sisters can't from down south can't offer us nothing in this country? But yet Abbott can fight COVID. He can fight the border, but they're landing in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's one of them inquiring minds want to know. What is that? They're fleeting political, looking for political asylum. Okay. Well, what are the people doing coming to El Salvador, working their way through Mexico? What's the difference?
Right.
Either way, I see blacks being pushed farther down the barrel once you have more and more various ethnic groups to come in and set up shop. And a lot of times they come in, make money off the black community and really don't care anything about the black community as long as they can get the dollar out of us. And they keep on moving. They keep on stepping. You know, so whether they come from Honduras, or whether they're coming from Afghanistan, how's this going to, my perspective is how's this going to affect the black community one way or the other,
Right. Well, Aaron, I've said.
How you prepare for that.
Right. But I've said for years, things have not been the same since Mandingo went in the big house. That's the fear that they've had of. It was a time where we were next in line, affirmative action. You see, they killed that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then they changed the ranking of our citizens. Of course, they were white.
Mm-hmm.
Affirmative action got some blacks into position. Then they moved women as a minority.
Oh, yeah.
All right, and then pushed brothers down a little bit more. Sisters got a... Sisters got in a position where they were doing great things, but they kept pushing brothers down. Then people from other countries come in. What do we do?
Right.
It's just got a little bit more. We'll bring them in plane loads from other countries, pushing us further down.
Mm-hmm.
When you privatize all these prisons, who were you trying to make beds for?
Right.
In third grade, they count black males in these schools to see beds they need in the future.
Right.
We let them act out. You know, where are our educators that will go the extra mile. I know I'm getting in, stepping in some dog mess with that one. But we need our little young guys to be focused in third grade, fifth grade, seventh grade, all the way through. Because their futures are being contained. Their futures are being controlled by what's going on right now.
Absolutely.
And we do have some educators out there that really care about our kids. They do.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, they may get another teacher, potentially, that is all about, let me get him ready for the prison system. Let me get him ready for whatever, except for anything,
right.
Which is very unfortunate. That's why we need the family,
right.
The unit. As much, I mean, it's not perfect, but what we have, let's make it work for us. There are a lot of single moms that had to be, unfortunately, had to be mama and daddy that have done a great job getting our young men ready.
Right.
But we need, as men, is to make them, but even harder to raise them. And
right.
So that we need to have our influx on these young men and teach them how to be young men.
Right.
Like I said, my hat's off to the women who have done this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm going to step on toes today, but, you know, I still love you, and I need you back next week. When your son, this is something that I've seen, that when your son want to use the bathroom when he's young, mom, you do what you can. Get a brother or your husband or your man, somebody to show him that he don't sit down and use the bathroom. Little stuff like they're going to emulate mama. If mama sit down every time, the boy going to sit there.
Right.
And you have some mothers that try to fix it. You have some mothers say, well, he young. Okay.
Right.
I'm telling you. Just get your pine saw ready. And when you do it in the bathroom, he's practicing. But as soon as you call him, he's going to look and lose focus on what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So we need, like I said, some mothers out here have done wonderful things for their young men. But they need, if you're having trouble or don't, ask your brother, your boyfriend, your husband, somebody to help to at least get him going in the right direction as far as that is concerned.
Sure.
Some dads can't nurture their boys. But, you know, if it wasn't for some of the soft touches that mom provided us with, you know, I probably would have been a thug. So you got to get a little bit, take everybody, but certain things, like the bathroom, I'm telling you, can you imagine, Harold, if you go to a professional football game or any public place, and the only training that young man has had is at home. That's why we need everybody to help. And he rounds their piece of urinal. That ain't good. That ain't good.
And it's almost like they're trying to phase out the black male. I read an article during the Olympics. There was like three stories dealing with young black ladies in track and field. And they were always mentioning them being mothers, and they mentioned the children, but they hardly ever mentioned the father or the husband, to the point where they didn't know that the ladies had husbands. But, you know, Shelley Fraser Price, they would call her Rocket Mommy. She had a little boy. But she had a husband also.
Right.
Felix, now what's her first name? Allison Felix. They would have pictures of her and her baby, but you wouldn't know that she had a husband. But, yeah, he did have a husband. She did have a husband. But they would look at, they would portray him almost, or not portray him at all. If you did see him, you'd think he's maybe the man. You didn't know she was a married woman. Then there was another young lady also who had a boy, and I think she was married.
Yeah,
the hurler. But, I mean, you would have known that she had a husband. But they just slowly phased the black man out, you know.
But we are an endangered species, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we sisters, we need you. If you're not with your man, I can't dictate that far. But if you got a brother or a good friend, let him go ahead and work. I see a lot of the young mothers today. Well, I'm saying that no, you listening. You sitting down. First of all, you know, if you got one bathroom, I'm not saying that everybody's been in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have one restroom,
mm-hmm.
I even told some of the mothers, believe it or not, put some Cheerios or put something in the toilet to get him to aim. Think about when we were young. I'm just telling it like it is. We get distracted. You're going to pee on the floor. You're going to pee on the wall, on the seat.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the training moment. Pull the seat up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Pull the seat up. Keep focused. Put some Cheerios or something in the toilet so that they're aiming.
Right.
All right, condition responses. That'll go a long way. And then women, you don't know. I'm gonna tell you, when we go to a restaurant now, in some places they've been putting newspapers or something for you to read, and they put devices in the bathroom because there've been some fights in the bathroom over the years of people peeping in the next stall.
Right.
Guys, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. So, again, this village that we talk about, we need to utilize the village, because even if I raise my daughter, I had to raise her by myself, there's certain things I don't know. I have an idea. But you need an expert in these cases to make sure our kids get what they need early, so that when the time comes for them to be parents, they will have an idea. But I just often see what I look for them now.
Right.
You know,
right.
Your brother, your man, your husband, something, you know, don't give them that influence or that. You can give them the caring, and sharing. That's fine, but it's going to take every and every kitchen is not deep, but you have other people that can start and sit in to help our kids, men and women, boys and girls. They deserve to get taught, for them to be taught the right thing. You know, at an early age that they be turned on. That's just hard to fathom. You know, again, but it happened. Been there, done that, see that. So, Eric, what's going on with the numbers in New Orleans? COVID.
The numbers continue to climb. I haven't looked at the news lately, but as I remember, you know, a lot of hospitals are getting full to capacity, especially the pediatric hospitals are getting full to capacity. And as we mentioned last week, you know, I know a brother, my mechanic, cardiac, needs cardiac surgery for 4 valves in his heart. And as after our conversation last Sunday, he still hasn't had the surgery, because we talked about it last Sunday, and last time I saw him, which was probably around Wednesday, so he was still at work, you know, so. You know, he still hasn't had a chance to have his surgery yet. For heart valves that need to be repaired.
And
so
it's amazing
when he'll be able to get that surgery.
Right, and it's amazing. I would think that's pretty high on the pole or the ladder as far as life threatening with triple, quadruple bypass and things of that nature. But with the onslaught of COVID and other things, you know, you have to put that to the side, which is very unfortunate for those who are in need. But it's, I don't know, these are some times that we've never encountered in our lifetime. You know, some of the older ones, older parents and uncles and aunts, you know, went through the flus and the polio and, you know, things of that nature. But for our lifetime, boy, it seems like the heat is intensifying even more. As we get older. So we got issues. We do understand, as we mentioned previously, some of the men, we're not using it as an excuse. Some of us out here really hustling. trying to make a difference in not only in our personal lives, but our family lives and other people that we come in contact with. But again, this earliness that I mentioned about making sure our little dudes understand what it's all about. Using the bathroom. I'm telling you, folks, mm-hmm. y'all have not seen a good night in the bathroom till you come in the men's bathroom. There's been some knock drag outs. I've been in there where they come off the wall kind of fight.
Oh, man.
Where you hanging out at?
Cotton Bowl. I figured you'd get that one, wouldn't you? And let me tell you, I know I'm beating the dead horse with this. At the Cotton Bowl, they used to have those troughs, Harold.
Yeah.
Even at old Texas Stadium, you had a trough. If you don't know what a trough is, when horses eat, everybody can eat at the same time. In this instance, everybody peeing into the same, I'm sorry, they're getting, releasing their waste, liquid waste, to a receptacle that goes all the way around in a circle. Where your focal point, your
hey man,
point,
I'm
dressing it up. I got to dress it up.
I peed on your shoe.
No. That's a fight itself. But
yeah,
where your focal point should be straight across and upward, and then everybody peeing in this trough. So I'm telling you, some with confidence, some without. I'm just telling you like it is. Some with confidence, some without. And then they get the regular stalls, and then they start putting dividers because people were fighting. I'm telling you, Harold, mixed audience. It's not just on our side of town. Then in Chili's and places like that, they start putting newspaper articles to keep your focus line up and not down. Now, the women, from what I understand, they've had individual stalls, so they didn't have to endure that.
Yeah.
Okay? But, yeah, you go in a men's restroom right now, there's something to read when you go use the restroom, most places today. Because, again, I've seen the fights. I have. So it's important whether they're young ladies or young men, they get the tools. They get the tools that will take them into adulthood.
You mentioned
if you're
young man, did you all
go ahead.
You mentioned a young lady. Did you all see your homegirl, Sha'Carri Richardson, last night?
I didn't hear
you know, bits and pieces. Tell us a little bit. Did she win a race or did she lose?
They talking about she came.
Yeah, she had. Yeah, go ahead.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, saying she came in almost last.
Yeah, exactly. And started doing that post game interview. She started cussing and said the SH words. And
so
she's probably upset about. Yeah, definitely. Now, on a subsequent interview later on, she came back to herself and was much more friendly and cordial and congenial. But when she was stepping off the track, she was just saying, she's coming back and don't count her out and said SH and all this kind of stuff. She caught a lot of flack for that, but during a subsequent interview, she did pull herself together, so. A lot of people are just saying this, this is going to be a good learning experience for her in terms of who knows what's going on. I'm not sure what's going on with her mentally because, she just didn't really compete at all in the race. But
Right. See, somebody, the wrong people are in her head. And she's a world-class athlete that, again, you've been taking off in these 3 weeks of the Olympics where you're not training or You just can't get out there. You got God-given talent. And she needs somebody to be a mentor to her and try to keep her on track. Because if she blow up at the microphone, now, one thing about track, everybody start at the same time. But we don't all finish at the same time. So you can't blame me. You can't blame me if you first or last. Sometimes, as Michael Jackson, you got to look at the person in the mirror. What did I do? Or what did I do right to get this outcome? Those are the things, but lose it. She just put a bullseye on herself now. And you talk about Naomi, when she said sometimes they throw some tough questions, how the black African-American female track runners or athletes are getting treated. They deserve utmost respect. But when you go in flaming like that, you know you're going to be the subject. You're going to be the target in the future. So I hope.
I'm real,
you know who her manager is?
I'm real concerned about her. I'm real concerned about her. I just see her as being sort of, you know, on the fragile side. I hope she's not on the fragile side emotionally, but I could see something going south for her, you know, and I hope she can get some spiritual foundation and also some emotional support to keep her going strong, because it's, you know, it's just sort of like, I don't want to say a train wreck waiting to happen, but I could see something going down, you know. So.
Right. And not only that, the idea of somebody trying, she has the major endorsements with Nike. If you look, she is the Nike right now. So after the debacle incident of last evening, will Nike pull her off? That's the next question. She's on the commercial with LeBron, everybody that's on the Nike.
Really?
And if I'm not mistaken, her manager is Ronaldo, what is his name? Nehemiah. What's his name? I just don't know. The hurdler.
Ronaldo Nehemiah. Oh, that's her manager?
Yes. And he was a quiet assassin on that track.
Oh, definitely,
yeah.
You know, like you said, she got next to last place last night. She started cussing in the mic during the post-game interview. I know she was upset, but still, how is that going to affect her sponsorship? I'm sure they weren't too happy about seeing that.
They weren't happy at all.
America, but yeah. I care less about corporate America, but I think she does care about corporate America. So, how are they going to react to that, you know?
That's going to be her livelihood. You got Nike. It don't get any bigger than that. In this global world that we live in, and it's unfortunate that you could be yourself, but there's a certain uniformity that they look for in their clients, which is very, you can't be yourself. Why put the worst foot forward when you make millions of dollars in an amateur sport?
Yeah.
Did y'all hear that? You making millions of dollars in an amateur sport.
Yeah, that is a conundrum there.
I know she's gone through
that. Second interview that I saw this morning, she apologized and said she was just very compassionate about what she does. So, you know, she's going to definitely need some further follow-up, I guess, training or advice of how to handle interviews. And also how to handle herself on the track.
Right.
Next to last is next to last, you know.
Yeah.
And so.
Well, that's like me. I'm the next Olympics, I don't know where it's located. I'm going to go run the marathon.
Yes.
I know where I'm going to finish, so ain't no need to be training. I know where I'm going to end up. But when you're a world-class athlete, everybody's trying to get hold of you. You need to get on your A game the whole time. And one thing she has that Phoenix does not have is youth at this moment. They've run their course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I hope she can get it together, get herself together, because now there are different pressures on these athletes. They're constantly being asked, and that's no excuse to blow up. But somebody can get in her life and tell her, baby, you need this. Maybe be Miss Sally, somebody in the neighborhood where she grew up. Now, you're disappointing us. You need to represent Cliff. You need to represent your high school, your college.
Right.
Best way that you can. And then somebody going to tell her, well, first of all, those places are important, but you need to represent yourself first. If you want people to have that impression about you, then go ahead. Mm-hmm. You're not going anywhere. But when you respect yourself, respect others.
Mm-hmm.
That's what somebody needs to tell
us. I'm glad you mentioned Oakland. Are there some ladies groups in the Dallas area who you all think off the top of your head who might be able to get in contact with her to try to provide some kind of guidance or support?
Lady churches, sororities.
Or ladies groups.
Women groups. You know, somebody that can reach it. Because sometimes when we get a little stardom, we forget the humble beginnings that we had. And that's just not female. Yeah. That's people.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully people who are in her circle, somebody would go and wake her up and say, look, sweet, this is what you need to do. And I'm being nice because it's Sunday. She may not get that kind of talk from somebody in her camp. We got some work to do. You can see 3 weeks off. You had the back. You went from the front of the line to the back, near the back. What are you going to do with it? That's going to be my question. What are we going to do about it? Get out here and train.
Mm-hmm.
Back. Talk about the race only. All this garbage. You know, I'm back down now. Boo-boo. You can't say that. It was a hard fall. I'm still trying to get back in shape. You know, I'm working to get back in the front. I can take that. But why you cut? What is that about? You next to last. But they knew she was going to give them something to write about. So they pull up.
Yeah.
To the floor. I bet you don't even know who won the race.
Right.
They can see who did win.
Right.
But sometimes we get exploited and don't even know it.
Exactly.
And here you are talking about, I know I smoke weed, and I think the committee is not on my side. Well, you finish next to last. And you know what that committee going to do? Catch you at a very vulnerable moment to show that you're not in control of you. And that looks what that seems to be what happened.
Right.
Because everybody can't be world class. I'm sure everybody on this broadcast is not world class.
And
here you
are. For yourself.
Well, I mean, it depends on what it is, Harold. We world class is something. World class thinkers.
Something.
Yeah, I'm going to dress it up for you. You know, but again, here you are where millions of people know you. Millions of people know your story. Now, people passed, your grandmother passed. No, I get it. But your camp shouldn't have let you smoke any weed.
Yeah. Now, you would have thought the way she ran last night that she was on weed. I mean, she was just like I said, next to the last. You thought she was on something last night, the way she ran, you know. And hopefully she was. I'm sure they would have caught it by now if she was on something.
Mm-hmm.
But, man.
Well, that's kind of embarrassing.
Careful, you know.
And even if you watch the U.S. Open, the first match out of the box. I mean, this is just look how they seeded Naomi. They seeded her to go to Coco. Folks, y'all got to read between the lines on this. They could have put Coco and Naomi in opposite ends. They say, well, let's get rid of one of them early. Put them against each other. And then we'll put somebody good or competitive in the same bracket.
Yeah.
And they routed her even in the interview. She cried a little bit, but she stayed up there.
Didn't she do a recent interview lately and was crying?
Yeah. After but she came back after about 4 minutes. She came back. And, you know, again, got her going and then put her in a tough bracket. So, again, we're losing our place in space. I'll put it like that. You know, you talk about immigrants. We've been number two for so long in this country, but they keep sliding more minorities between us. And we all know our forefathers and foremothers built this country. We didn't ask. A lot of people came over on their own. We did not ask to come over here. But we built this country. And if they could, like you say, bring in people from Afghanistan, provide them with aid. But what are we doing when we go over the Ninth Ward? What are we doing when we go over the Third Ward in Houston? What are we doing when we're doing South Dallas, Oak Cliff? You know, won't we put some money in and build up so these people won't come in, buy property, and making it so expensive where we can't live in the neighborhood that we grew up in?
Yeah. See, did you hear about the situation in L.A., Crenshaw?
No, what happened?
There was the Crenshaw Mall, I guess it's called, and it was initially owned by whites, but it's been a long traditional haven or staple in the black community. And so the black community, the mall supposedly is now up for sale, and the black organizations in the black community came up with the highest amount of money, the highest bidder, to purchase the Crenshaw Mall, which is a historic site in black community, and they refused to sell it. Organization, the black business sector, and they sold it. Yeah, they sold it to a Russian businessman. The white owners of the Crenshaw Mall sold it to a Russian businessman who did not offer the most amount of money. Black organizers in Crenshaw, Los Angeles, they came up with the money. They refused to sell it to them. Now the black community has decided, what can they do about it? They may have to take a legal route to try to get access to it. So even when you come up with millions of dollars, that's where racism still going to show its ugly face. So you can try to do your economic development if you want to, but you're going to have a backup plan. It's not enough to have your finances. I guess you have to have your legal resources in order to.
Well,
yeah.
And Eric, it's funny that you say that. Let me wake up the people who live in the 214-682-817. Carol, in
there, Dallas? Okay. Pretty much.
When you had KKDA go on the table, there were some blacks wanted to get it and keep the format because they killed our radio. When you start getting all this conservative radio on, right after Obama was in office, President Obama's tenure in the White House, they started buying up stations, and they would not sell to black people who wanted, who had the resources.
Right, exactly.
So the station that we had here, they sold it to a Korean station.
Wow.
Korean format. And Harold, I have not listened lately. I don't even think the Korean population is owning 730 on your dial.
What?
And to hear what Eric said in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles.
Well, we had the resources, but they sell it to a Russian. Now, I can tell you this, in believe it or not, in Los Angeles, the Russians as well as the people from the Middle East are running a lot of businesses in that area.
Oh, you know about that, huh?
The East and Far East. Some of the most of the wave, what do you call it, weave that our sisters are buying.
Mm-hmm.
If you look, who run those shops?
Look at the Asians.
Hell?
Mostly the Asians, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. If we have a black beauty supply, first of all, you're going to pay more in there because they're not getting the fair trade value where they go. So instead of us for a package of hair, I'm just throwing numbers out. We sell it for $5, they're going to sell it for $3.
Because
if you know business, you got to make some money off what you sell. You got to have a markup.
Yeah.
Well, if I'm getting it at a higher price, then my price is going to be higher because I'm doing the standard markup.
Mm-hmm.
You got a lot of that going on where they're keeping us out of running these places. So think about it. You always had a black beauty supply in your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're there, now they're paying you paying more. And so people, where are they going to go? The least expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to research more about the L.A. situation because, again, that is a microcosm of what this world is offering us. When you used to go to New York, you can go down in Brooklyn, you can go down in Harlem, and you can get a hot dog off. You can do this. Man, get a hot dog today. You never know what they may be doing. And it's sad that we have to do this in 2021.
Let me ask you something about the KKDA, the black business sector came up with the money, but they still refused to sell it to them. It seemed like they would maybe have some legal recourse. How is the black legal community in Dallas? There's quite a number of black attorneys in the Dallas area handle something like
that. Well, look, I'm going to go hood. You don't hear this often. Man, we strong. We real strong with black lawyers.
No kidding.
Harold?
We got a few.
A few with some money. We, you know, I always say that I may get in trouble with this. Now, let me dress it up. You know, we have some that you see on TV buying a lot of airtime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing, I just got hit, I'm the hammer. what else I care?
Mm-hmm.
Hammer and Hammer Jr. on commercials now.
Yeah.
you got that out there. And there's a lot of money,
right.
And we wish that we could pool our resources and start buying stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, Eric, there's a place in Dallas that I think nobody else in the country has. Intersection with Martin Luther King Jr. and Malcolm X. Now, you tell me
that.
Who has that intersection. But if you go down, you have to sorority. Go ahead, Al.
And it's South Dallas has
it. Right. Well, you look up and down Martin Luther King Boulevard. You have some sororities and fraternities that have houses.
Mm-hmm.
You had a mosque there. Some funeral homes. I mean, this is the picture I'm painting because this is Black Community USA. A grocery store that we're focusing on hog maw, hog head cheese, sour. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We even got a packing house.
Okay.
In that area. You get some good meat, you know. But if you go around the corner on Pennsylvania Avenue, we know what's famous on Pennsylvania Avenue and Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah, right.
We have a powerhouse. They're changing, put a new fire station up. Less than 3 or 4 miles, there's another station.
Mm.
Brand new, City of Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling people, when you get a fire station, fire stations are there to keep fires out, right?
Right.
They're there to protect, to respond, little or no time, that the neighborhood is changing. We know
okay.
it. You don't have to be a rocket scientist
right.
to see what's going on.
I
they getting ready to stay up on their nose, Fair Park.
Mm.
In Fair Park is the world-famous Cotton Bowl.
Okay.
At the end of next month, starting next month, the Grambling Prairie View game.
Right.
A staple. Then the next Saturday will be Texas-Oklahoma. Same venue. They moved our game to the afternoon, maybe 4 o'clock. It's hot in Texas. It's hot.
You know it.
But they want to get in and out for the night out over there.
Right,
right. See, a lot of Dallas people didn't realize that. But we're going to talk about that. We got about 90 seconds left. Man, this has been wonderful. I'm sitting back in my easy chair, just relaxing. Thinking about the things, and we're gonna start looking at the economics of our neighborhoods.
Oh yeah,
where we are today versus where we were yesterday. Harold, so get on it. I'm on it. Eric, look a little bit in New Orleans if you can, and we can see the plight of our neighborhood today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We're losing.
Oh yeah,
and don't let us get on the dated on some of this dated. Information on our sodas and beers. That's crazy. That's crazy. But that's something we have to deal with.
Right.
Gentlemen and staff, hey, I appreciate you all being a part of the World According to Drew.
Yeah, bless you.
That's what I want. We sitting back talking, having a conversation, and we need everybody on board. Ladies, come on, don't let us outdo you. Some of y'all have got some strong personality. And we need to know because it's going to take both sides to make this thing happen. Eric, we appreciate you. And as I close, all right, sorry about that. As I close, keep your head above water and don't do nothing I wouldn't do unless I'm with you. Hang on. Kids going to school, be careful out there driving in the streets. Much love to you, and the spirit of school, here we go. I'm out. Peace.